Good afternoon, everybody. It is Saturday, April 2nd, 2022. NXT Stand and Deliver 2022 is in the books. And I am here by my lonesome to give you a quick overview of what went down today. With little announcement, just to put it right out there for anybody who is interested, tonight, right after night one of WrestleMania 38, I will be here doing a recap, but I won't be alone today. We had some talks earlier today, and we decided, you know what, for one night only, since I think enough of you out there would want to have a little bit of nostalgia, tonight, your night one WrestleMania 38 recap will be hosted by yours truly. And also joining me tonight will be Mish, my Breakfast Soup Raw partner, host, co-host of Wrestling Soup, Joey Numbers, and Kevin Castle. Tonight, I hope you could join us. If there's enough of you tuning in tonight, maybe I can convince them to do it again tomorrow. We'll see. All right, NXT Stand and Deliver is in the books. Listen, we always got to remember this is developmental. You know, this is not you pour a little water and fertilizer and the next thing you know, you grow a tree. Some wrestlers are on the fast path to the next level, stardom. Some others definitely need a lot more seasoning. I think the problem is, you know, we have not had NXT have an event outside of Florida in over 2 years. So this is the first time, and right away I saw people tonight trying to compare it to NXT Portland, NXT Brooklyn. You can't. This is why they took the TakeOver name away. This is why they gave 2.0, because people out there won't on their own, you know, admit or acknowledge the fact that this is developmental. That's what it is. And for a developmental group, I thought they had a banger today. Is it on the level of AEW? No. Is it on the level of the revamp of Ring of Honor? No. Is it on the level of WWE? No, not even close. But for NXT, if you support it, if you follow it, if you understand it, I thought this delivered really, really well. And let me tell you something. What I always say on the shows is when you can't pick a winner, or if something goes totally against what you're convinced is going to happen, sometimes those end up being the most fun moments. And to go off the event with Dolph Ziggler as your retaining NXT Heavyweight Champion, that shocked all of us. Oh, Bron Breakker, WrestleMania moment, regain the title. Not just yet. Not just yet. Now, before we run down the match results, one thing I just want to address, get it out the way, because I saw a boatload of people complaining about it tonight, and I just want to make a little point. You know, yesterday, WWE had their Hall of Fame. Yesterday, the Steiner brothers were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Bron Breakker, as, you know, I expected and a lot of you expected, ended up inducting the family. And, you know, it was awesome. It was awesome. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame another time. But, you know, Wade Barrett made a comment tonight during Stand and Deliver. And Wade Barrett said, and I have the exact quote for you, "It was an emotional night for the Bron Breakker family. His uncle Scott Steiner, his father Rick Steiner were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame." And right away, you have loads of people triggered. What do you mean, emotional night for the Bron Breakker family? Can't you just say the Steiner family? My answer to that is this. Number one, Wade Barrett did say Rick and Scott Steiner. And number two, breaking news for a lot of goofs out there. Rick and Scott. Steiner is not their last name. It is Reckensteiner or Rex Steiner. You know, it's not exactly their name. If something happens really, really cool for the CM Punk household, you think Excalibur is going to say, "Wonderful, wonderful moment for the Phil Brooks household"? No. Bron Breakker is his wrestling name, That's why they said the Bron Breakker household. It's just people that complain because I feel so much better if his name had Steiner at the end instead of Breaker. Lighten up, people. Lighten up. There was nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And just people out there just want to bitch and be cunts. Just to be cunts. You know, this sucks. This wasn't that good. This was flat. This was that. Why even bother tuning in? I'll tell you why. Because then you feel left out. If they don't watch it, then they can't bitch. And if they can't bitch, then they can't be part of the social media. It's attention deficit disorder. Pro wrestling is filled to the gills with people who suffer from ADD, and they don't even know it. So, NXT Stand and Deliver at the American Airlines Center, Dallas, Texas. Say about 5,000 to 6,000 fans attending. You know, look, man, not a bad crowd. And keep in mind that WrestleMania is tonight. You know, not a lot of fans. I could tell you me. If I was going to WrestleMania weekend in Dallas, Texas, maybe because I'm older and I'm a little more lazier and I get tired, you'd think I'm going to spend 12 noon at the American Airlines Center tonight watching NXT stuff when I know I'm going to WrestleMania later? No. I'm going to go out to lunch. I'm going to hang out with my friends. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to get to the arena early. I'm going to get my seat. It's not for everybody. And there's a lot of people today, you know, that do live in that area that maybe can't afford to go to WrestleMania. So they go watch a little bit of NXT as well. So I thought it was a good show. I think the favorite moment tonight, and I think for most of you out there, you're going to agree, was this moment. Tommaso Ciampa wrestled his last match for NXT in a losing effort, as we expected. But as he was walking to the back, Triple H's music hits. Triple H comes out, you know, just very emotional on both sides. A lot of tears being shed. You got to understand something. It's not just, you know, that Tommaso Ciampa's leaving NXT and going to the main roster. It's also, remember, what happened to Triple H? You know, a lot of people were making a big deal yesterday because there's some pictures surfaced of Triple H posing next to Scott Steiner after everything that's happened. And we've talked about that before. You know, when we had that episode about Triple H, you know, when he revealed on the interview with Stephen A. Smith about what happened to him. You know, when you get health scares like that, life or death, people forget Scott Steiner was on his deathbed not too long ago. It does make you appreciate things a hell of a lot more than before. It makes you see things different. We talked about it on, I think it was Friday, or though it was Thursday, that Scott Steiner has really mellowed out since he had that health scare. And look, you know, I know there's a lot of friction and a lot of angst, a lot of animosity, but at the end, you know, when it's life or death, it really does change you. I had two cancer scares and some crazy-ass surgery. It sure changed me. So to see that yesterday, that's not, wow, Triple H could make amends with anybody. No, that's human beings acting like human beings, like, what the fuck are we fighting for? So I thought that was an awesome moment. That was very emotional for not only Tommaso Ciampa and Triple H, but it was emotional for everyone else as well. That's not about black and gold. That's about mentors, friends, you know, human beings, relationships, appreciation, caring, love. So I thought that was awesome. I thought that was really awesome. And to me, that made my whole night. So the pre-show today, let's get the pictures on the screen. Toxic Attraction defending the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. Match pretty much went as we all expected it would. You know, just because a faction holds all the gold doesn't mean they always hold all the gold. I know we've gotten used to it with the Bloodline. We got used to it with Toxic Attraction. But most of you out there felt that it was time for a little bit of a change. Raquel Gonzalez, you know, just seems to be in limbo over there. Dakota Kai was just in the finals for the Dusty Tag Team Classic. And as we talked about Wednesday with predictions, you have the Dusty Classic, and she's in the finals, and she loses, but yet still somehow ends up with a tag team title shot. You don't have her have a second shot. You don't have her reunite Raquel with Raquel Gonzalez in another losing effort. So what ends up happening in this match? You know, we get pretty much a back and forth match. Towards the latter part in the match, Raquel Gonzalez picks up Dakota Kai to suplex JC Jane off the middle rope. Little weird, I think, brain fart on Dakota Kai's part. Maybe a little bit too excited. She ran to the rope and climbed the rope to do a move and then just climbed back down and went for a pin, only for a two count. But then, remember, who did Dakota Kai team up with in the Dusty Classic? Wendy Chu. So what happens? Wendy Chu comes out there. She nails Gigi Dolan with the pillow. I'm assuming that's orange juice or Tang. I mean, you're sleeping, you get up, you're in your PJs, an orange drink. It's probably orange juice. I mean, it's probably Crystal Light. You don't want to actually like burn the eyes of your, you know, Gigi Dolan. But she throws the juice in the eyes of Gigi Dolan. So Gigi Dolan, that's it. Toxic juice. So Raquel Gonzalez with the powerbomb onto JC Jane and your new NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. Congratulations to them. You know, again, we've talked about the women's division, you know, being a little bit shaky. You know, but again, this is developmental. They're going to pair people together you don't normally see. Yeah, I told you, I actually want to see Lash Legend and Nikita Lyons team up thick and thicker. You know, there's a couple of tag teams I think some people have been thinking about. And remember, there's the buzz that somebody from the main roster may be coming in for the women's division as well, you know, not too long after WrestleMania. So we'll see what happens. But look, if Raquel Gonzalez would have lost today, then you either have to bring it to the main roster or you have to do something drastically different with her. She wasn't in the title hunt for the Women's Heavyweight Championship. So good that they took the titles off of Toxic Attraction. Look, Gigi Dolan and JC Jane are a little bit more in the rookie status. I know, you know, they've been around for a little while. But still, you know, they have to acclimate to the WWE style. I think that's probably where we ran into the problem tonight with Gunther and LA Knight. Because I got to be honest with you, maybe because we didn't get that extremely loud chop that we were all craving for. But to me, it almost felt like a clash of styles in that match. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But for a kickoff match, not bad at all. Not bad at all. Now we go to the main card, and Jesus Christ, I tried taking as many notes as I could with this. I don't like taking lots of notes. I like just do a quick overview and get out of here. I think that's probably why the shows run long. But these guys, this is stand and deliver. This was stand and over deliver. My God, this match was off the hook. Yes, props to everyone out there. Remember what I said about Grayson Waller. You know, diving into the pool and nobody going to be home with one of those ladders. And sure enough, I hope to God he didn't break his arm. I actually got a little clip for you in a little bit. There was some spots during this match that were, you know, scary insane. And I get it. We've seen tons of ladder matches over the years where we see some spots. Some of these spots, though, you know, you're going to do an elbow onto someone and there's nobody home, you know, maybe you do a splash or maybe you do a somersault to just literally with your arm. I mean, you're just asking for your arm to be broken. Some of the spots were, I agree with you, Tuxedo and others. A lot of people thought that Grayson Waller may have broken his arm. I mean, it looks sick when he took that dive. But before the match started, right at the end of the pre-show, Cameron Grimes cutting a very, very serious promo. Just remember that later on because things got very emotional for the man. Early on in the match, Carmelo Hayes getting a lot of help from Trick Williams. We had Legado del Fantasma and Electra Lopez around ringside. We had Sanga at ringside, they would all become a factor later on in the match. Cameron Grimes with some early offense. And if you watched it closely, it was almost like follow the leader as far as taking moves, giving moves. And you'll see what I mean in a moment. So Cameron Grimes with some early offense, knocked out of the ring by Carmelo Hayes. So what happens? Carmelo Hayes now goes at it with Solo Sikoa. Then Sikoa gets knocked outside. So now Carmelo Hayes goes at it with Santos Escobar. They end up going outside the ring. And Cameron Grimes is now in there with Solo Sikoa. So I think you could figure out what happens next. But then we started to get some interference from everybody at ringside. Sanga gives Grayson Waller a ladder. Legado del Fantasma gives Santos Escobar a ladder. We have Grayson Waller and Santos Escobar going at it. Cameron Grimes then decides he's going to beat the shit out of Sanga, who took a couple of bumps today. Sanga, you know, maybe he could actually work. Yeah, I think a lot of people forget, you know, the tag team that he was in. So Solo Sikoa then dives onto Sanga, takes him out for a little while. Santos Escobar dives onto Solo Sikoa. Cameron Grimes dives onto Santos Escobar. Carmelo Hayes takes out Cameron Grimes. Follow the leader. Grayson Waller, early on in the match, funny. Everybody was diving onto everyone outside the ring. He sets up like he's going to dive. He goes to run to the opposite rope to get a little momentum, and he stops, grabs the ladder instead. Little Samoa Joe-ish, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. So now we get a little bit crazy with the bumps. First of all, we got this spot. That is Santos Escobar literally doing sunset flip. Solo Sikoa cracking the back of his head on the step. You know, it's a matter of inches where you could seriously hurt yourself. I was very surprised that he did not get hurt in that. The dive that everybody was talking about. We had Grayson Waller, Santos Escobar, and Carmelo Hayes all sandwiched in the corner behind two ladders. Solo Sikoa does a splash onto all three. Solo Sikoa climbs the ladder, but he is stopped by Cameron Grimes. We get that holy shit moment with the sunset flip by Santos Escobar to Solo Sikoa onto the other ladder. Now we're getting holy shit and this is awesome chance at the same time. So now everybody gets involved. Santos Escobar, he is laid out. Sanga knocks out Trick Williams. Sanga, because there's a ladder in the middle of the ring, and I was trying to get the video capture of it, but I just didn't have enough time. You had a ladder, and you know that middle bar that keeps the ladder stable and doesn't fold up while you're climbing it? Sanga literally just chops both sides of it and breaks it off its hinges. And you know that they tested that a few times to make sure that he get it, because that's wrestle crap. He would have chopped it and the ladder didn't go anywhere. So he breaks the ladder in half, even though there's a bunch of other ladders laying around. And then we had after the ladder spot, I think that's when Electra Lopez hit the ring. And people actually thought we were going to see something happen with Sanga and Electra Lopez, but Legado del Fantasma actually hit the ring. They start attacking Sanga. And then Electra, she climbs the top rope, and she does a dive to the outside onto Grayson Waller. Legado then takes out Sanga, and crowd starts chanting, "We want tables." Unfortunately, we didn't get tables in this match. So we get to finish of this match. Everybody is laid out. Trick Williams, for people that don't follow the story, he's afraid of heights. Trick Williams enters the ring. He looks up, sees the North American Championship. No one else is around. He starts climbing the ladder. Very, very reluctant to do so because he's scared of heights. So he's climbing. Next thing you know, Cameron Grimes enters the ring. And Trick Williams is like, please no, please no. Cameron Grimes knocks him outside the ring onto everyone. And we're getting loud to the moon chants. Loud to the moon chants. Not just yet. Cameron Grimes gets taken out. And then we get some crazy ass shit. Grayson Waller has Carmelo Hayes laid out outside the ring on a ladder. And Grayson Waller, instead of going for the championship, decides that he is going to climb another ladder and do an elbow drop onto Solo Sikoa. Remember that spot he did with the table, you know, not too long ago? Guy is crazy mofo. So what does he do? He literally climbs, boom. I mean, people legitimately thought that he broke his arm. I mean, Carmelo Hayes gets out of Dodge at the very last minute, and boom, right through the ladder. I mean, that ladder they can give, that's scary shit, man. These are not toys. You know, I know they seem like they can handle it, but that shit ain't toys, man. And, you know, we hope he's okay. We hope he's okay. So now it comes down to Cameron Grimes and Santos Escobar. Cameron Grimes takes out Escobar and climbs the ladder as fast as he could, and the crowd is starting to sense it. And next thing you know, Cameron Grimes gets the championship. Crowd is loving it. I am very surprised, very surprised. You know, when I did my predictions, I said I thought the end would be that he would climb up and then get screwed at that very last moment. But no, this time he actually got it. He cut an emotional promo afterwards, his late, I think his stepfather or his father, that he dedicated it to and worked his ass off for 3 years. And you could tell. You could tell it really, really meant it for him. Crazy, crazy match. Delivered. I mean, I don't think anyone would disagree. I mean, it was just a phenomenal match. So now we go to Tommaso Ciampa losing to Tony D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo comes out with Al Galante, which I think is like an owner of a team. You know, they came out in style. I think that is a 67 Ford Fairlane. Yeah, we really didn't get to see much of it. Like, we saw most of it inside, but they come out to the ring. And, you know, look, I always have to remind everyone that Tony D'Angelo has not even had 50 matches in his career. And no, Tony D'Angelo wasn't like Bron Breakker and others that had a wrestling ring in their house or their uncle's house, and for the last 5-10 years, once in a while, would bang it out in the ring. You know, this is still all new to the guy. And I can honestly say this was his best match to date. And a lot of it is because of Tommaso Ciampa leading him along the way. Now, early on in the match, you know, it was a pretty even brawl. Went outside the ring. Tommaso Ciampa lifts up part of the padding, which would come back to haunt him at the end of the match. So we got some of the padding exposed outside the ring, exposing the concrete. So we end up back in the ring, and Tony D'Angelo, you know, trash-talking Tommaso Ciampa a little bit. I'm the Don. I'm Tony D. This is my ring. And Ciampa gets pissed off, and he tears Tony D'Angelo's shirt off, gives him a boatload of chops. Tony D'Angelo just pushes Ciampa off the rope, tries to do a dive, but is greeted by a kick to the face, thanks to Tommaso Ciampa. They both get up at the count of eight, and we now get dueling punches. Boo, yay. But we didn't have too much of that tonight, which is good. Gets a little played out in AEW sometimes. Almost every match they do that sometimes. Tony D'Angelo goes for the crowbar. It's wedged between the steps and the ring, and the referee immediately grabs the crowbar, and as he tries to take it, remove it from the ring, when the referee distracted, Tony D'Angelo with a low blow to Tommaso Ciampa. So now we think this is the end, but not just yet. Tony D'Angelo hits his finisher, but only for a two count. He is shocked. Tony D'Angelo goes around ringside and goes for the crowbar again. And as Tony D'Angelo is walking back in the ring, he climbs in the ring and is greeted by a spike DDT on behalf of Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa hits the fairy tale ending, but only for a two count, and everybody is shocked. Ciampa is shocked. Nobody kicks out of the fairy tale ending. Now we get loud Johnny Wrestling chants, which was pretty cool because Johnny Gargano did tweet something that I'll share with you in a moment. Ciampa goes back outside with Tony D'Angelo, and remember that exposed padding, the exposed concrete. Tommaso Ciampa is DDT'd onto the concrete. He is out, completely out. Now, Tony D'Angelo could have just rolled in the ring, got a count out victory. But when you want to finish someone, you don't just let him lay outside the ring and get counted out. So he pulls Ciampa, he rolls him back in the ring, kicks him in the head, which actually, if you ever check out some mob hits, especially my neck of the woods, a lot of times they'll stab, they'll shoot, and then at the very end they'll just kick him once in the head or kick him multiple times. So they have to have a closed casket. So he kicks him in the head, pins Tommaso Ciampa. Crowd is not pleased, but they expected the outcome. And then after the match is over, Tommaso Ciampa kissing the ring, crowd, you know, just giving him a standing ovation, everything that we expected. And as he walked to the back, Triple H's music hits and he enters. Crowd is loving it. Very, very emotional, as we said earlier. You know, Triple H with a few words for Ciampa. Ciampa, very, very teary-eyed. And Triple H's entire theme song played. They allowed Ciampa to just stay out there, take it in, and it was an awesome moment. I hope he does well on the main roster. I hope so, because now it's no turning back. It's no turning back. But it was a really, really good way for him to go out. Johnny Gargano, right at the end of the match, wrote this on Twitter. He said, and I quote, "We were told no together. We were signed and thrown into a makeshift tag team together. We made history together because nobody will do it for you. There wouldn't be a Johnny Wrestling without a Blackheart. This is your moment, friend. You've more than earned it." Very, very cool. Very, very cool. I thought that was really good. So far, I mean, everything about the event tonight was a lot of fun. Shout out to Toby Knights. Happy anniversary to you, my friend. Finally, another stream he could watch. Hey, I hope you could tune in tonight. I think we'll have a little bit of fun. Chris Cutler, great NXT show with a surprise finish, which is nice at times. Say what you want about 2.0, but they keep delivering on big shows, and that's what matters. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's developmental. You watch it on Peacock. We pay $9 a month. I mean, we know what it is. I just don't understand why people insist. Imagine, I don't want to compare it to baseball or even basketball, but imagine, you know, you're watching like minor league baseball and you have like a boatload of people that are watching minor league baseball, and every day they treat the team as if they should be going to the World Series or they're major league ready, you know. Some elements, yes. And again, I will never criticize Ziggler or Mysterio or AJ Styles or anyone else that shows up in NXT for a little while. You know, it's very catchy Twitter comments that sound really funny. But at the end of the day, all of those veterans are giving knowledge. They're dropping knowledge, experience. They're giving this. They're all providing assistance for the wrestlers coming up. Just like I guarantee you when AJ Styles 20-something years ago when he was teaming up with Air Paris, I'm sure there were a couple of veterans that were helping him as well, just like a very early Dolph Ziggler in his career. So never shit on that. never shit on that. And in the end, Bron Breakker, does it feel like he's being screwed? No. It feels like this is a story and maturity. That's what the whole storyline is. Bron Breakker, it's about maturity. See, even Robert Roode, you know what's going to happen. The next event they do, Robert Roode is going to be banned from ringside, and if Robert Roode shows up, then Dolph Ziggler loses the championship. That's what they'll probably do. And the whole story is that Dolph Ziggler still needs help to keep his belt. And when he comes to that point where nobody can help Dolph Ziggler, that is when he'll lose. That's pretty much the story. Now, did we expect that outcome tonight? No, of course not. Of course not. I honestly expect, and I'll tell you the truth, when we get to that match, there was a little something that I really wanted to see tonight, but we didn't get it. But before we talk about that, Imperium defending the NXT Tag Team Championships against MSK and the Creed Brothers. Now, we all agreed that it's not, we all agreed that Creed, it's not that time yet. Most of this match was about MSK and Imperium. We had one crazy spot where Brutus Creed hit a cannonball outside the ring onto everybody, but that pretty much was the highlight. I mean, they had a couple of moments here and there, but this match was about MSK and Imperium. And once Brutus Creed hit that cannonball, I mean, it was the beginning and the end for the Creed brothers. Julius Creed is knocked into the ring steps. So Imperium then take out Brutus Creed with a double team maneuver outside the ring. Now we're wondering, is anybody going to come out and take out the Creed brothers? We did not get that yet. We'll probably see something happen on Tuesday. Benjamin, you said, why was Imperium's music changed when it's public domain? I'll get to Imperium in a moment. Something that I was thinking about tonight. I have a feeling some of you know exactly what I'm about to say. So, with the Creed brothers taken out, Marcel Barthel climbs the rope to try to land a move on Wes Lee, but he is cut off. MSK, they hit a Frankensteiner into a sit-down powerbomb, and then Nash Carter covers Marcel Barthel, and they win the tag team championships. MSK is once again tag team champion. Now, that surprised me. I mean, did we expect some title changes? Absolutely. But so far, we've run the table. Title changes. And I'm thinking, are we going to get a night where every title's going to change hands? Now, in my prediction, I didn't think there was any chance of Mandy Rose losing. But this surprised me. Surprised me very much. Then I started thinking a little bit. You know, I think we all agree Imperium is without a doubt the most underrated tag team in the world today. And I'm not trying to compare, I will not compare them to teams like FTR and others. It's two totally different styles. But as far as like European high flying, Imperium to me, I'm not trying to cause controversy. I love Imperium a hell of a lot more than I like watching the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are more characters, entertainers. They're a combination of both, even though people hate to admit that. I'm not saying that I don't like the Young Bucks. Different styles, but Imperium, the shit that they do in the ring is so smooth. And, you know, they are. Do they feel developmental to you? I'm wondering now if Imperium is going to be coming to that main roster. Because if you remember last week, I said it almost feels like one or two new tag teams may need to be debuted on the main roster, SmackDown in particular. And now I'm thinking to my, remember I said Grizzled Young Veterans? Either they're going to be released or they have to go to the main roster. I mean, if you get Imperium on the main roster, then maybe you can revisit the Grizzled Young Veterans with a push in NXT. But after all of this time, GYV, I just can't see it. But now I'm starting to wonder if Imperium gets called up. And I got news for you. You know, you think about the Imperium versus Kofi and Xavier versus the Usos versus a makeshift team. I mean, there's so many people that they could kill it with. The only problem is, you know, if Imperium go to the main roster, they're going to be domesticated. They're not going to do half the stuff that they do now. And if they can't ooh and ah like they do for us, how are they going to succeed on the main roster without being characters? Could they join up with Sheamus's group? I'm just throwing ideas there. I don't work for WWE. But now I'm starting to wonder if they go to the main roster. I'm not convinced, but it makes you think a little bit, especially with MSK getting the tag titles. All right. Gunther versus LA Knight. Now, I think I have the matches reversed. I think the women's match was next, but we could talk about this match. Then we'll talk about the women's title match and Braun versus Ziggler. This match, it wasn't bad, but it was disappointing for me. To me, it just fell flat. I think his chops are so epic that people, I think, literally, not saying that they pay just to see that, but I think when they watch a Gunther match, they want just that sound that just goes through your body, that resonates. They think they without that, the match itself better be epic. I don't know, for some reason, this match fell flat for me. In the very early part of the match, Gunther teased a chop, just a little teaser, you know, putting the thought in everybody's head. And the match was very, very even to start off. I think the problem is with Gunther, with his European style, lots of European uppercuts. I mean, the clothesline he did at the end of the match was sick. And some of the chops to the back were sick. But, you know, when we talked about this match last week, doing predictions and a lot of your feedback, everybody wanted the chops. They wanted to, we're all fans of LA Knight, and we all agree that he is primed for the main roster. But we also wanted to see him get chopped the shit out of tonight. And it really, to me, the match fell flat. Gunther at points had the upper hand, nice neck breaker, lots of awesome European uppercuts. But LA Knight's offense is more, you know, is main roster. There's a stark difference. I just don't think that they clicked all that well. I mean, the crowd at points, it felt like they were getting very restless. They got into it at points. When Gunther started to get some momentum, I think people were feeling, and it just never came. It never came. So we have one point where LA Knight literally kicked Gunther 20 times in the corner. Did it 10 times, moved away, did it another 10 times. And then Gunther almost immediately, you know, getting the upper hand once again. LA Knight hits the Megastar elbow onto Gunther, but then is greeted with a crazy-ass clothesline. Gunther, you know, is brought down on his knees once again. LA Knight puts him on a middle rope, and before Gunther could do anything, LA Knight, with a nice move, runs up to the top rope, little Shelton Benjamin, Kurt Angle-ish, gives a nice superplex onto Gunther, but ultimately, Gunther gets the upper hand once again. Some submission moves, but we don't get that one distinctive chop. Couple of chops to the back, one chop that kind of hit a little bit, but still extremely stiff. That clothesline at the end by Gunther looks sick. He hit some crazy-ass clothesline at the very end. Then hit the splash onto LA Knight, followed by the powerbomb. Gunther defeats LA Knight. It wasn't a bad match, like I said, but something just totally fell flat with this match. I just, I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm trying to think, like, what match did I like the least? I don't want to put the kickoff match because a kickoff match is usually designed to be a kickoff match, you know, warm everybody up. But up until this point, I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe that match might have been the most disappointing for me. So we get the four-way. Mandy Rose retaining the NXT Women's Championship, defeating Io Shirai, Cora Jade, and Kaylee Ray. We had a couple of pretty cool entrances. Cora Jade came out with a bunch of skateboarders from the Texas area. I saw a lot of people making fun of her online for not skateboarding down the ring. You know, this is pro wrestling. These are gimmicks. Whether she could really skateboard or not doesn't matter. I mean, we've had people play roles, you know, was The Undertaker really an Undertaker? I'm not trying to compare Cora Jade to The Undertaker, but come on. We've had a lot of gimmicks over the years where the wrestler's not actually that gimmick. Not everybody was the big boss man who really was, you know, from a penitentiary as an officer. But look, Cora Jade is still what? Under 20? 19 years old, 20 years old. She's got a long way to go. She's not ready yet, but she's gaining a lot of experience. And my God, you're in the ring. All right, Mandy Rose, you know, she can hold her own, but you got Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray in there as well. I mean, she's in the ring with almost royalty as far as NXT standards go. The match was okay. It was a couple of sloppy moments that looked scary at times, and thank God it seemed like nobody got injured. We had one moment where Kaylee Ray did a flip to the outside of the ring, and it looked like she nailed Cora Jade. No, Cora Jade just folded up. She was twisted like a pretzel from that. And then almost immediately after, Io Shirai hits a moonsault onto Kaylee Ray. Io Shirai's knee hits the table. Kaylee Ray bangs her head. And we're thinking, oh, my God. And then when Io Shirai hit the ring, she was limping for a little bit. But after a few moments, it seemed like that they were okay. A couple of times, Mandy Rose tried to steal the pin, which is, you know, what we talked about the other day. Kaylee Ray with a submission move on Mandy Rose, but Io Shirai had the Texas Cloverleaf on Cora Jade. So both of them realize that the other person could tap out, and the other person is the winner, so they end up breaking their moves themselves. Cora Jade, did I take the shot? I think I did take the shot. Yeah, Cora Jade with an awesome Canadian destroyer right to the edge of the apron. I mean, that got a holy shit chant. I mean, I can't play more of it. You know, we don't want any trademark copyright issues here, but that was a nice looking spot. Everybody loves doing a Canadian destroyer now. But she got holy shit chance from that. But towards the end of the match, Io Shirai with a missile drop kick onto Mandy Rose. Cora Jade hits the sliced bread on Mandy Rose, but Kaylee Ray breaks up the pin attempt. Kaylee Ray climbs the top rope, but she is thrown off the side by Io Shirai. So now Io Shirai, you know, she thinks that she's going to get the win. We got Cora Jade out in the ring. Io Shirai nails the moonsault onto Cora Jade, but here is Mandy Rose back in the ring, hits the knee to Io Shirai and folds her up. That pin that everybody seems to be enjoying lately, you know, that almost looks sexual. You know, she completely folds up Io Shirai, gets the win. Mandy Rose retains her championship. Match was okay. It was a little messy, to say the least. But I like Mandy Rose's entrance. You know, a lot of, if you remember Wade Barrett, I've got some bad news when he used to be on the pedestal. She came up down. And the funny thing is, I don't have the clip from it, but if you look at her intro, she's got like the wings on the screen. And a lot of people were saying that it looked like the Divas belt. A lot of people, diva is a dirty word, everybody. You're not allowed to say diva these days without having somebody bitch at you. But it was a good match. Good match. A good win for Mandy Rose. So who her next one-on-one opponent is, don't know. Might be nobody that we saw tonight. We had two quick segments. One, which was goofy, was Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis, along with Persia and Duke Hudson. They were at a cowboy store trying to dress up as cowboys. They didn't realize that they both went to the same store at the very same time. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? I would have loved if they would have said, what is this cameraman doing here? But they did some type of poll. I don't even know how you voted. I don't think anybody really voted. But, yeah, they dressed up as cowboys. All right, whatever. We did get a segment with Nikita Lyons. What was the quote that she said? I wrote it down. Nikita Lyons, what did she say? Oh, she said, I'm a whole lot of woman ready to give a whole lot of whooping. Nikita Lyons could go. You got to look at some pre-NXT work, especially women of wrestling. She actually could go. But we got a little vignette from her today. Another vignette. We had Joe Gacy in Holland at Dealey Plaza. And for those that don't know, that was the site where President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 1963. And look, for anybody out there, because I saw a lot of people online, like, that's fucking creepy to do a promo from there. I mean, they do tours. You look in Texas, they do tours. Here's where he got shot. This is where, you know, the fucking shooter, whatever his name was, this is where he lived, and this is where this person stayed, and this, they do tours. I know it's still terrible, but they do tours. So they're there, and they're basically saying, like, why do we need tragedy to bring triumph and unite people? And Joe Gacy is begging the people, we hope you choose peace so we don't have to choose violence. So, good promo. I thought it was good. So, we get to the main event. Let's bring this back. Bring it back. Dolph Ziggler, as we said, the Lee Harvey Oswald. Thank you very much, Dorian. Lee Harvey Oswald. I'm just a patsy. As we opened up with this show, I think every single one of us expected Bron Breakker to get that WrestleMania moment. You know, he was going to retain the championship against Dolph. Of course he's going to get this title back, but WWE felt not just yet. And honestly, in hindsight, I'm glad this is going longer. Dolph Ziggler, you know, before the match even started, we had a little bit of a backstage segment where Bron Breakker had a chainsaw. And the color scheme on the chainsaw looked pretty interesting. And then sure enough, Bron Breakker comes out and we have the NXT logo. And he takes the chainsaw, he puts on the safety goggles. That is a requirement. You don't want any splinters poking the eye. And he cuts the NXT, the X in the NXT logo, and he's all pumped up with the chainsaw. It was a good moment. I think a lot of people were a little like surprised, like he's cutting the colors of the 2.0 logo. It was a cool segment. Dolph Ziggler coming out for his match. You know, I mean, you've heard my praise for Dolph Ziggler for years. He's doing a fine job right now. Now, I will be honest, the first half of this match was kind of flat. You know, I don't think it could have been goosebumps, you know, by Braun, maybe. I mean, there were a couple of spots that looked a little shaky. Crowd had dueling chants. There were a lot of fans there for Dolph Ziggler. I think a lot of fans appreciate what Dolph Ziggler is doing, too. They could, you know, read beyond, you know, what people will just talk about on the surface. But we had a lot of dueling chants throughout this match. But early on in the match, Robert Roode tries to interfere, and he is ejected by the referee. So now we think, okay, Robert Roode's out of the picture. Okay, this gives Bron Breakker the opportunity to beat Dolph Ziggler. So we get the signature power moves by Bron Breakker. Nice jackhammer, spear, slams, power slams. starting to look crisp. And Dolph Ziggler, you know, it felt like a main roster match for a good part of the match. Dolph Ziggler picks up, Bron Breakker picks up Ziggler and almost hits a jackhammer. But here comes Robert Roode once again. Now, this was awkward because the referee ejected Robert Roode earlier in the match. He showed up again, and he pulled Dolph Ziggler out of the ring. And the referee is looking, and honestly, it felt like an AEW match for a minute because you got Wade Barrett and Vic Joseph saying, like, he's already ejected, and the referee is saying, this is a title match. Like, the referee, the story is the referee did not want to disqualify Dolph Ziggler. Like, this is a heavyweight title match. This is important. So the referee, we're thinking, is he going to disqualify Dolph Ziggler in storyline? He should. I mean, you eject Robert Roode and he comes back, and if you do nothing about it, that's AEW rules. You might, anybody gets ejected now, you just show back up. So before we could continue thinking about this, Bron Breakker puts it in his own hands. Bron Breakker, impressive, dives over the top rope, almost like a sunset flip, also onto Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. He then picks up Robert Roode and throws him in the ring steps. And I got to be honest with you, at that very point, when Robert Roode came out again, I mean, I don't know if they could physically do it, but I thought, man, wouldn't it be a freaking cool moment if Scott Steiner and Rick Steiner came down the rampway and somehow taken out Robert Roode? You know, I think it probably would have got a crazy-ass pop, but the reason why they didn't do that is because of the outcome. You don't have the Steiners come out, eliminate Robert Roode, whether they carry him to the back or just lay him out, something. I mean, obviously, they're not going to hit the finisher that age, but you don't want them to come out and do that, and everybody's going nuts, just have Bron Breakker lose. So that's why we didn't get that. But Bron Breakker takes out Robert Roode on his own. Bron Breakker is, and I loved the final sequence of this match. This final sequence was outstanding because fans, including me, we were convinced the match was over. We thought Bron Breakker was going to hit the spear, maybe his version of the jackhammer, and gets the pin. And he's immediately greeted by a famouser and at the zigzag. Now, on the main roster, people normally don't kick out of that. The famouser and the zigzag, and Bron kicks out at two. And everybody's like, holy shit. Now you don't have a clue. We were convinced Dolph Ziggler was running it right there, but Bron kicked out. So now, okay, Bron's going to win this match. For that split second, we thought Dolph was getting it. Nope, 2 9/10. Now we think Bron is going to get it, but earlier in the match, you don't really pay attention to it all that much, but Dolph Ziggler, very nonchalantly, removed the padding from the middle rope in the corner. So we had the exposed turnbuckle. Didn't really focus on that at all during the match. But at the very end, Dolph Ziggler throws Bron Breakker headfirst into the exposed turnbuckle. Bron Breakker is shaken, turns around, is greeted with a super kick. And Dolph Ziggler pins Bron Breakker. And he retains the NXT championship. I love the ending. I loved the ending. Again, I totally respect anyone out there that does not like Dolph Ziggler. I get it. There's a lot of people that don't, but there's a lot of people that do get it with him and like him. And I think the guy does a fabulous job. He could still go. He sells like $1 million for his opponents. You know, let's be honest. Bron was the reason for some of those botchy moves early on. But Dolph did everything he could. And in the end, the match picked up its pace and was really good. And the final sequence, the final minute and a half of that match was outstanding. And although I expected Braun to have that WrestleMania moment, to be continued. So Dolph Ziggler is still your NXT Heavyweight Champion. Again, this is about maturity. And I expect the next title shot. Now, he's probably going to have to earn it. You know, let's remember, you know, he lost more than once to Dolph Ziggler. So don't be surprised if Dolph Ziggler in storyline on Tuesday says, get to the end of the line. So we may need to have a tournament, or we may need to have something go down in order for... And look, there's a lot of you out there that think Bron Breakker is going to the main roster. I don't see it. I don't see it. It's, you got to look at it in the Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair point of view. All right. Not necessarily being screwed the way that Bianca was in that storyline. But the thing is that whoever beats Becky for that championship, it had to be someone really, really special, someone who is the future, and someone who really is going to get that rub from Becky Lynch. That's why I said SummerSlam, I said Bianca is winning that belt from Becky at WrestleMania. You look at the NXT roster, there is nobody that is that big babyface future star of tomorrow that you could see taking the belt off of Dolph Ziggler. Out of that entire, I mean, look, there's a lot of wrestlers that could beat Dolph Ziggler for the title, but as far as storyline and come, you know, having that powerful win against Dolph Ziggler, Bron Breakker is the only one. He's the only person. Why can't he go to the main roster? Sure, he could go to the main roster, but that leaves a massive void in NXT. I mean, what are you going to do? Put LA Knight up against him? You could do Gunther, but, you know, it's not the same. It's not the same. Bron Breakker is still very new. There's no need for a rush. You got so many people that are the focus on Raw and SmackDown right now. You think Bron Breakker is going to leapfrog all those people? No chance. You don't want someone on the main roster just so they're on the main roster. You want them to go to the main roster. That's why I'm a little concerned about Tommaso Ciampa. I'm a little concerned what happens with him. But I think this storyline, I mean, look, Bron Breakker may have to do a gauntlet. He may have to run a gauntlet. But he's going to have to earn this next opportunity. And they're going to have to, or maybe Triple H or somebody in NXT comes out and says, after Robert Roode coming out a second time, Bron Breakker gets a rematch and Robert Roode is banned. If he shows up, Dolph Ziggler loses the title. I could see that scenario. That's how you could have Bron Breakker get a rematch still, even though he lost again. Somebody, an official from NXT, has to announce, due to Robert Roode coming out twice, Bron Breakker gets another rematch. And if Robert Roode comes out, Dolph Ziggler loses that championship. In fact, the more I think about that, I bet you that's where they go with it. So, anyway, we're at 1 hour, and it is 4:45 p.m. Believe it or not, in a little over an hour or so, we start getting a WrestleMania pre-show. And tonight's going to be crazy because, you know, we got night one of WrestleMania. Seth Rollins, who's it going to be? You got Becky versus Bianca, Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey. We got a loaded card tonight. So, if you're watching this after WrestleMania, I hope you enjoyed this recap. If you're catching this somehow before the weekend is over, check out our rundowns of WrestleMania 38, Night 1 and Night 2. For at least tonight, again, I will be here live. Mish will be on video with me. Joey Numbers and Kevin Castle should be audio only. But, you know, for one night only, we're going to get together and talk a little WrestleMania tonight. So with that, post your comments in the comment section. What was your favorite match tonight, your least favorite match tonight? For me, my favorite match tonight, boy, I'll go with the ladder match, the NXT North American Championship ladder match. That's my favorite match of the night. My least favorite match of the night, I tell you, I'm disappointed with Gunther and LA Knight because it fell flat for me. But the women's match, I don't know. It kind of, even though I kind of expected what I saw with the women's match, I'll give it to the women's match, the heavyweight title match. But let me know what you think. So, all right, everyone, we still got a lot to do this weekend. So on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I would appreciate it if you hit that like button. You know, as you hear a thousand times on other people's channels, it really does help with the algorithm. I mean, I always say it, about 90% of everybody who tunes into my stuff access the audio only stuff. I want to make this video stuff by showing you the pictures and little clips. I want to make it feel worthwhile that I'm doing video here. Because if it continues that almost everybody accesses audio only, then there's really no reason for me to do video here. So if you enjoyed it, hit the like button. You know, if you like the channel, subscribe, spread the word, and I'm out of here.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.